Cuba, where decades-old American cars are famously still on the streets, now has some very fast cars on the road.
The latest movie in the Fast and Furious franchise is shooting in Havana. It's the first Hollywood blockbuster to film there since the Cuban Revolution more than a half century ago.
Relaxed relations between the U.S. and Cuban governments mean filmmakers can take advantage of the Cuban scenery. NPR's Mandalit Del Barco reports.
The buzz all around Havana is about the Fast and Furious 8 shooting on location here.
Action! Crowds gather on the streets to watch the kind of big-budget American production they've never seen before here. Camera operators flying on helicopter while motorcycles and classic American cars screech past Havana's Capitol building. Among the onlookers was Erasmo Moises.
Rápido y furioso. Vin Diesel. Buen actor.
Actor Vin Diesel posted a YouTube greeting while on location.
We're at a place that nobody ever thought would be possible.
Havana, Cuba.
We are in Havana, Cuba, and you can see how beautiful it is with all these beautiful people.
The production brought in big Hollywood trucks, cranes, cameras, and lights, and they hired Cubans like Alexis Alvarez.
Uno cree que Hollywood es como una especie de monstruo de cosas.
Alvarez, an assistant art director, says the shoot has been incredible and very surprising. He says he thought the Hollywood machine would be some sort of monster, but he says he's been treated with great respect and love. Of course, the pay is good by Cuban standards, double or triple what he could make on a local production. The films he usually works on have such limited resources, he ends up having to sweep the floor and paint the walls himself. This kind of Hollywood work is a brand new opportunity for Cubans and Americans. It wasn't long ago that the island was off limits. Other locations had to stand in for Cuba. So over the years, James Bond's adventures in Cuba were shot in Puerto Rico and Spain. The Godfather Part II was filmed in the Dominican Republic. So was Sidney Pollack's 1990 film Havana. Cuban filmmaker Manuel Perez Paredes, who, 76 years old, recalls what a difficult time all the American filmmakers had for decades. They couldn't film here, he says, and Cuba couldn't buy the American films to show here. But that didn't stop pirated movies and TV shows from getting to Cuba. Perez says thanks to the black market, Cubans have been able to watch all kinds of American films and TV shows. They get it in La Paqueta Semanal, a weekly package of illegally downloaded entertainment in the form of a hard drive. We get films from everywhere, says Perez. He extends a welcome for more American filmmakers to Cuba. Fast and Furious 8 is the biggest by far, but not the first American feature film shot here since the 1959 revolution. That would be Papa, Ernest Hemingway, in Cuba. American director Bob Yari says it took 2 years of lobbying to overcome red tape with the U.S. Treasury Department before he could shoot on location.
We had to pretty much convince them that, like a documentary, our film was a docudrama about actual events happening in actual locations and preserving that history. And that's what finally got them to reverse their initial denial. Initially, they had turned this down.
And he says there was red tape on the Cuban side, too.
Obviously, you have to submit your script. It has to be approved. Getting access to those locations was not easy, but they were very cooperative. And one of the things I have to say that they didn't do, which was wonderful, was censor in any way, shape, or form our story.
Yari says there were other challenges. The U.S. limited the amount of equipment they could ship out, and it was hard to get money onto the island. There were no film catering companies, and they had to create their own makeup and wardrobe trailers. But Yari says Cuba did allow them to film at Hemingway's home and other locations, and the government lent them military weapons for some scenes. Yari says he was impressed by the Cubans he worked with.
They're very skilled at what they do. They have a terrific crew base down there. And I look forward to watching them make bigger and better movies.
Cuba has one of the best film schools and film festivals in Latin America. Its government film institute, ICAIC, was established after the revolution. It's produced most of the country's films.
Cuba Libre.
Cuba Libre director Jorge Luis Sanchez says he had to use a Norwegian actor to play the American protagonist in his period film. His budget was so small, he had to be creative.
Ella canta de frente, y por atrás todo el vestido está lleno de alfileres.
Sanchez says there wasn't enough fabric for half a costume, so they had to turn it around to shoot from behind. That sort of guerrilla filmmaking is familiar to students or independents, except that Sanchez is one of Cuba's biggest film directors. His biopic of musician Benny Moré was Cuba's candidate for an Oscar in 2006, and he's made co-productions with Spain, Germany, and Mexico.
Yo creo que lo más importante es que estamos reencontrándonos, dos países cercanos.
As more American productions come to Cuba, Sanchez says, maybe we can both learn how to make movies from each other, but with mutual respect. Cuba also has a thriving independent film scene.
Vampiros.
The 2010 film Juan of the Dead is a zombie comedy with political overtones. Claudia Calviño was the executive producer. Her production company is also now helping American productions, including a sequel to the Buena Vista Social Club. She says the price of everything needed to make films in Cuba is going up for everyone.
No, Cuba is not cheaper. You Americans have made everything much, much expensive.
Calviña says she hopes that any money made from the big-budget American film shoots will be reinvested in Cuba's own state-run and independent film industries. She worries that Hollywood will come first.
I'm afraid that this kind of big shootings that brings a lot of money to the country anyway will be more prioritized because they bring money and in some point they don't create any kind of conflict with the social and political ideas that maybe independent films sometimes talk about.
With Hollywood coming to Cuba, these days some people are even calling this place Havana Wood. Mandalit del Barco, NPR News, Havana.